My name is Kevin Cahill. I'm a journalist, and I was a special advisor in the House of Lords for 8 years on surveillance and supercomputers. I write books on land as well.
So what were you doing in your House of Lords job?
I was investigating the criminal mass surveillance of the United Kingdom. They were interested because the surveillance was in the House of Lords and in the House of Commons.
If you've got MPs under surveillance, if you've got judges under surveillance, if you've got journalists under surveillance, if you've got military personnel under surveillance, it's yes, it can completely compromise anybody's ability to operate as a democracy, really.
Well, the situation in the House of Lords was outrageous. The contractor for computer systems in the Parliament, in our Parliament, was lodged with Microsoft. Microsoft is a criminal corporation engaged in criminal mass surveillance inside our Parliament. And I think loads of people knew that. It took me a long time to find out what was happening. But that's what Microsoft were doing in the Parliament building.
I was chatting with people at GCHQ who were saying that they had these Huawei Chinese internal communication systems, which doesn't sound very secure.
No, that's rot. Complete rubbish. And, arguments about what the Chinese are doing or not doing are overwhelmed by what our ally is doing. The United States, on the surface, I'll make that clear in a second, is engaged in criminal and unlawful mass surveillance on our parliament. And the party leading the criminal surveillance is Microsoft.
So in what way is it criminal? In what way is it unlawful?
Okay. On the 11th of July this year, the Official Secrets Act was amended, and we brought in a new National Security Bill, National Security Act. In both of those acts, it is a criminal offence in the United Kingdom to act on behalf of a foreign espionage agency that you haven't declared yourself to be acting for. Now, in the case of Microsoft, it's quite extraordinary. In 2018 and 2019, Parliament itself, a select committee, published sworn evidence in the parliamentary record identifying Microsoft as a criminal corporation and saying what it was doing, engaged in espionage inside the parliament building.
Well, surely if the police get a report of a crime like that, then they will investigate and act on it.
Don't make me laugh. This crime, originally, it was as clear a form as it now is, was reported to the Devon and Cornwall police in 2014. They refused to do anything. I then went to the High Court, and the High Court agreed that there was a problem, and the High Court invited the Devon and Cornwall police to investigate, and the Devon and Cornwall police refused. That's called contempt of the High Court. But the fact that nobody did. But I'll take you forward. There was a policeman in our house quite recently, and this is 8 years later, remember? And he couldn't produce a crime number. 8 years, no crime number, no investigation, nothing. And in the meantime, and this is, although I personally think, because I worked in the in our parliament, this is even more serious. Last October, a coroner in North London, and it was seriously tragic, imposed on Facebook a judicial judgment called a Regulation 28 Prevention of Death Notice. Now, that means that a judge, a coroner judge, put the finger on Facebook for killing a child. The child who died was called Molly Rose Russell, and she was 14 years old. And Facebook, who had already been identified in the parliamentary report as a criminal corporation, the coroner then implicated Facebook formally as a judgment in the death of the child. The regulator, the person who's supposed to regulate Facebook and Microsoft, the information commissioner, said he'd investigate. He hasn't.
So the death of, how are Facebook implicated in this child's death then?
That's the coroner issued a judgment. It's called a prevention of future deaths notice. He issued this judgment on Facebook.
Well, I mean, we need to know a little bit about.
Facebook didn't tell the coroner and didn't disclose in court that it had a secret file on the poor child, which it analyzed for her vulnerabilities and then manipulated her. The Facebook did not disclose that file in the court. That's called perverting the course of justice. And the regulator has done absolutely nothing. The regulator was told by me and others last October that he had to investigate, not a bit of it, wipe the child off the books. But that's what Facebook did. They manipulated the child, having stolen her data in the United Kingdom. They manipulated her here and killed her. Or let's say, let me modify that, and were involved in her death, according to the coroner. That's how it happened. And the dangers, the argument I'm having with the Devon and Cornwall police is that this stealing of data, moving it out of the country, and then coming back and maneuvering the victims, it affects 34 million people in the country, according to the parliamentary evidence.
So what stage is this at? I mean, I know you've had difficulty getting the police to even take it seriously, even though on paper it's all criminal. How have you managed to keep them actually investigating you? Because they don't seem to really want to.
I think you and I should share the question. Why are the police refusing to act in the face of the High Court invitation? The High Court put its finger right on the issue. It said that the companies to be investigated were the nine that Parliament also said were criminal corporations. And I don't know why the police aren't going back.
Well, I'll tell you why. That's because these massive corporations are far more wealthy. I mean, if they're multinationals, they are above the law in this country, and they're not really subject to the law.
That is putting it mildly. I, as you know, worked in Parliament on and off for 35 years, and the first person I worked for was a former MI6 officer, Paddy Ashdown. It's hard to get closer to what's going on than to be in that position. I was in that position for 4 years. But at no time did I understand or know that our ally had overwhelmed the country with this criminal surveillance. But Parliament published the evidence, and Parliament said, these are criminal corporations, and this is what they're doing.
I mean, isn't all this really just part of being part of the American empire? These corporations are America.
No, it's more finesse than that, and it's worth telling you what the finesse is. You and I are talking, and if you feel I'm outraged, I bloody am, about what's happening. But the first people who were made victims of the mass surveillance were the American public. The corporations that are out of control and the espionage agency that has been hijacked by them are Microsoft, Facebook, Apple, Google. They have actually overwhelmed the American system. They imposed this mass surveillance in America after 9/11, and when they found they could get away with it, they came here too.
Okay, so what's the role of the National Security Agency and GCHQ then?
Okay. The role of the... Officially, the National Security Agency is the lead in this criminal mass surveillance. It was imposed in the United Kingdom and throughout Europe and the NATO states in September 2007. That's in the parliamentary evidence. But it's necessary to understand that the National Security Agency was overwhelmed by Microsoft and led by the nose. And the driving force in the mass surveillance is Microsoft, but it's operating under cover of the National Security Agency. So that's how that's working.
Okay, well, so what's the latest on all this then?
Well, the latest is the Devon and Cornwall police, after 8 years, are still considering whether they will make an investigation and agree to do what the High Court asked them to do, but it's 8 years late. And in the meantime, every child in Devon and Cornwall on the internet is at risk.
So what was that last conversation between you and the police like then?
Stupid. I mean, you and I are not stupid, you know, we're normal people and we're graduates. And this is, let me not be too unfair, this is a police force that is playing hooky with the law in contempt of the High Court and with placing all the children in Devon and Cornwall at risk. They are the children of Devon and Cornwall, there's about 40,000 affected, are at the same risk that killed Molly Rose Russell. And the conversations are, the only word to use is totally stupid. I mean, what else can you say?
I mean, it sounds to me as if they've sent somebody along just to sort of tick a few boxes, but they've got no intention of actually doing any real police work. In fact, there's lots of forces around the country that are acting in exactly the same manner, that they're actually facilitating organised crime by even failing to respond when the public contacts them. But look, let's just talk now about Gaza, because this has been such a horrific couple of weeks watching the bombardment of this civilian population by the Israelis, and yet the Rupert Murdoch empire that you used to work for at the Sunday Times has been literally, I mean, cheerleading. It's you could only put it like that, for this genocide that's going on. So what do you make of what's been happening in Gaza, in Israel, and also of the response by things like Talk Radio, Talk TV, The Times, The Sun?
If there's money in it, Rupert Murdoch is there. So you can assume there is money in this. The Murdoch empire and its media are doing this for money. So they have decided that the money is there if you support genocide.
But because we've had influencers, we could call them, you know, TikTok users with lots of followers, Instagram users, etc., actually coming out this week and saying they've been offered money to support Israel in this conflict. And some of them have said, I'm just disgusted by this. And so I'm going to, not only am I going to say no, I'm not going to have it, I'm going to say it publicly for everyone to hear.
Well, don't forget that when I was working for the Sunday Times, it was Murdoch was paying me, but at least I was doing a very ordinary job, the rich list. But overwhelmingly, the only reason Rupert Murdoch does anything is for money. He backs people who will make him money. He criticizes people who don't. And his media are actually totally corrupt. And it is he has corrupted them. I had a conversation with the Metropolitan Police a while back. The High Court order on the Devon and Cornwall police was also made on the Metropolitan Police. And the conversation I had was about the News of the World. The News of the World was a blackmail operation. And I told, eventually, I couldn't tell it at the time, I passed on the information I had on the News of the World, that it was acting as a blackmail operation against mainly Parliament. But the big money was being authorised out of the News of the World by Murdoch personally, and the payments were being made to the Metropolitan Police. Murdoch, for years, bribed, corrupted, and completely undermined the Metropolitan Police, and he got away with it. Remember that farce in Parliament when somebody hit him with a bun or something? But Murdoch got away with it. The Metropolitan Police were grossly at fault for failing to prosecute Murdoch for bribing the Met. That's what he did. And one of the reasons the Met is in the disarray it is in is because Murdoch undermined it and corrupted it.
Yeah.
The corruption.
Okay, so can we just have a look at Gaza then for a minute? What do you
mean? Oh, yeah, sorry.
I mean, you actually, when you were in the army, you served over in Yemen, didn't you? We had news this week that the Yemenis were firing rockets. We're not quite sure that they were headed towards Tel Aviv or Israel at all, but the Americans shot them down, apparently, from their, what are they, guided missile destroyers or cruisers in the Mediterranean. So what do you make of the way this has developed and where it might be headed?
Well, go back to the World Cybersecurity Congress in 2018 that I chaired, the first day of which I chaired. The Israelis at the Congress were bragging openly about the fact that they could get access to anything Microsoft had stolen, i.e. the American intelligence. Now, Murdoch makes money out of gambling. So Murdoch is getting information from somebody, private information, so they can blackmail people. But he has obviously made a decision that backing the Israelis to the hilt is money-making. He's in it for the money. He is not interested in justice, law, humanity.
Well, no, it doesn't seem like the Israeli government is either. So what do you make of them? They seem to be very far right. We've got an absolute catastrophe unfolding. Last night, 700 people killed in their homes, civilians.
Yeah, no, this is the, how do I put this? International law is very clear. You can't mass murder civilians, even if you're claim to be doing a military operation. The operation in Gaza right now is mass murder. Yes, Hamas hit Israel and killed 1,400 people. That is dreadful, but that is not an excuse for bombing Gaza, starving it, and so on. Bombing Gaza and starving it is a crime in international law.
So why are they doing this? It's obviously a kind of provocation. They're even saying that it's almost like Israel against the world. We've had calls for the UN Secretary General to resign simply for saying that this did not come out of a vacuum.
Yeah. Israeli propaganda is extremely noisy and incredibly arrogant. I am a student of the Holocaust for various reasons. The people who suffered the Holocaust should, better than anyone else in the world, know what it's like to be bombed to death, starved to death, and they don't seem to have got the lesson. It's like an abused child comes around and perpetrates the abuse.
But to be fair, a lot of Israeli, Zionists, people who believe in the Israeli dream, have been out on the streets, outside the Defence Ministry. They've been protesting. We're hearing very little about that here in Britain, though.
There is a very big body of this, what you might call good Israelis who don't support any of this, because there is no way forward. You cannot murder every Palestinian in Gaza. That's not a solution. But there's something even more important. As a former soldier, there is no chance of a ground invasion of Gaza happening while there are hostages. Hamas has got Israel in a vice. Any attack on Gaza will have terrible casualties in the Israeli army. They will lose between 2,000 and 6,000 troops. They will lose 30 or 40 tanks, and they won't achieve their aim. If their aim is to destroy Hamas, they'll have to kill every Palestinian in Gaza, which is roughly what they're trying to do. And it won't work.
Well, the Palestinians have said that something like 5 or 10% of the hostages have already been killed because of the bombing.
Long, long ago during the Vietnam War, the American embassy used to tell me the numbers. And eventually I worked out, if those numbers are true, there's nobody left fighting in Vietnam. They've killed everybody. It's the same trick in Gaza. The claims by the Israeli Defense Forces are bogus. And even if they're not bogus, they're not real. They will not defeat Hamas in Gaza until they kill everybody, but they're trying to do that.
Well, some people saying that the effect of this could be to even, for Netanyahu, to even threaten the existence of Israel if Hezbollah and the Syria Arab Army get involved, and even the Americans and the Chinese get involved, we could end up at the end of all this in World War III with no state of Israel left.
No, the big, yes. That is a serious danger. The big threat actually comes from Iran rather than, you know, all the other parties. I mean, there's Putin growling from Moscow and so on. But the big danger is the war spreading via Hezbollah in Lebanon and then Iran getting involved. And that could... But I believe the Israelis would use nuclear weapons if their existence really came under threat. The Israelis would have no hesitation at all in dropping nuclear bombs on Iran.
Okay, Kevin Carhill, thanks very much for joining us. Do you want to just plug your books, see if people can read up on your latest?
Well, if there are any Irish listeners, Who Owns Ireland is currently on, in the bookshops, and it tells about more oppression, how Ireland actually became what it is.
So who does own Ireland?
Mostly it's farmers. It's the most widespread ownership of land generally in the world is Ireland, which may explain why it's number two or three in the world GDP. I mean, Britain is number 21. Ireland is number two or three. Redistribute land and prosperity follows.
Okay, Kevin, thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, Tony, thanks.